In this episode, we'll explore how video gives you a competitive advantage and how to convince your boss it's time for video marketing.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Yo, yo, this episode is in honor of the 6th anniversary of Wirebuzz. And actually, today, the entire office is dressed in Halloween costumes. In fact, to my left, Christo is wearing lederhosen. Am I joking? No. He's totally wearing lederhosen. Marcus Krieg is here, and he's dressed in his Portland formal gear. And I'm rocking my Prince tribute gown, Erotic City. It's happening all over this office right now. And in a few moments, we're going to explore how video gives you a competitive advantage, plus how to use that knowledge about the power of video to win over key stakeholders inside your company. But first, here's the latest news that matters to video marketing masters. Vine's 6 seconds of fame are over. That's right. Twitter announced plans on Tuesday to kill off Vine, the short-form looping video app it acquired 4 years ago in an early effort to bring video to the social network. And I never found Vine valuable. You know, I know that sounds strange for a video marketer to say, but, you know, I'm going to explain my reasons in a few moments. You know, the truth is that Twitter didn't provide a reason for shutting Vine. However, the move that they just announced, hours after Twitter confirmed significant job cuts in a desperate bid to remain profitable. As Fox Business reports, quote, Twitter bought Vine in 2012 for a speculated $30 million, but I'm not surprised by this move at all. You see, Twitter and Vine are focused on brevity, right? 140 characters for Twitter posts and 6 seconds for videos on the late Vine. But if your social network's biggest value is brevity, and you put being brief above everything else, you got a problem. Being brief is significantly less valuable than providing high-quality information. If you put brevity up against valuable information, well, valuable information wins every single time. Look, the core difference between Twitter and YouTube. Besides, one is a site focused on microblogging, and it's a social network, and the other site is a video social network. Besides those obvious differences, from an information perspective, on YouTube, you can find really valuable information. On Twitter, you find lots of people talking in short 140 characters. And I know you've heard me explain why I'm not a believer in the long-term value of Twitter during past episodes, but it sure looks like with every passing week, Twitter's value is headed in the wrong direction. And YouTube, well, YouTube is here to stay. All right, so let's unpack this for a little bit. You know, Twitter used to be a 30-second limit on the length of videos. But that's really hard to monetize. You know, it's hard to put an ad on a video. And then if you look at Vine, and Vine's only a 6-second video, well, that's even harder to monetize, right? So Vine was really draining resources from Twitter because it wasn't generating any revenue because they didn't have ads on Vine, right? So that stuff was, and I hate to use it, it was dying on the vine, right? And eventually, as Twitter went and expanded to 140 seconds, they really signaled that things were changing because they needed to generate revenue around video and that people were gravitating towards video in really freakish rates. I mean, you see the same thing happening with Facebook. And before you knew it, Vine's viability really seemed limited. As a content creator, I know there's very little that you can create that has lasting value in only 6 seconds. Here's the official comments from Vine. And as I read this, I want you to imagine if this statement came from YouTube and not Vine, all right? Okay, here's their statement. Quote, since 2013, millions of people have tuned to Vine to laugh at loops and see creativity unfold. Today, we're sharing news that in the coming months, we'll be discontinuing the app. Nothing is happening to the app's website or to Vines today. We value you and your Vines and are going to do this the right way. You'll be able to access and download your Vines. We'll be keeping the website online because we think it's important to still be able to watch all the incredible vines that have been made. And you'll be notified before we make any changes to the app or the website. Now, it makes sense to hear this news from Vine, but wouldn't it be earth-shaking if you heard this message from YouTube? YouTube's got really significant information. Your video marketing takeaway from this developing Vine Twitter news is when creating valuable content, your primary focus should not be on an amount of time or a character count, all right? That's the wrong way to look at creating valuable, lasting information and content. Instead, I want you to focus on telling a very succinct, compelling message and don't go a second longer. Would YouTube ever say that in the coming months we're going to be discontinuing our site? Of course not. And the reason is many content creators are providing really valuable information on YouTube. That information you probably couldn't find anywhere else. So when you're creating videos, make them really valuable. Be helpful. Provide information that you know that your target audience is going to resonate with. They're going to want to share. They're going to go back and look at it as a resource. And it'll be indexed and available for years to come. I actually feel the same way about Snapchat. And I'm not a fan. I've tried many times. I've got friends that are Snapchat, you know, lovers. And I'm not embarrassed to tell you that I disagree with Gary Vee and his raving love for Snapchat. And the reason is Snapchat videos are so damn short, nobody is sharing anything of significant value. Even the patron saint of digital marketing, Gary Vee, isn't sharing anything of significant value on Snapchat. And I'm a Gary Vee fan, and he knows it. You know, there's nobody doing a better job on YouTube developing their thought leadership with video than Gary Vee. But you know what he's sharing on Snapchat? Snaps of him sitting on an airplane between his next speaking gigs, or he's hustling from one event to the next. And, you know, say what you want about Gary Vee, but his hustle and his drive, they're absolutely flat out undeniable. And as we just saw with Vine, if there's nothing valuable for your audience, if you're just watching somebody go through a very insignificant moment in their day, that's a problem for the network's long-term sustainability. By the way, the navigation on Snapchat is fucking ridiculous. Like, if I've got to go and look at a YouTube video, you can hear my dog in the background. He's just here. He's dressed here today as super happy. His name is Happy. He's a little whining in the background, but he was dressed as like super dog today. And it was a lot of fun having him in the office. And he's now in the recording session because daddy's left with his baby. Take home later. But the thing I've got a bone to pick with Snapchat is I don't know in what universe they came up with this navigation system, but it's wrong. I shouldn't have to go to YouTube and watch a 30-second tutorial on how to navigate through Snapchat and how to swipe right or swipe left or how to find people that I want to follow. It is the most ridiculous navigation system ever created. And I think that's got to be the reason why people have a hard time adopting it. And I know it's the most rapidly adopted social network in the history of the world. I get that, but who's adopting it? Like, I've got an adopted brother from Haiti, an adopted sister from Haiti, and I talked to them last night on Snapchat, okay? But when I watch them and I'm like out to dinner with them and they're using Snapchat, there's nothing valuable happening there. Sure, they're spending time and advertisers want to get in front of people that are spending time anywhere, but all they're really doing is taking photos of themselves and their face, making silly gestures with their lips or their eyes. And maybe they're taking 1,000 photos, but there's nothing valuable, nothing lasting. It feels like it's going to wither on the vine eventually. Twitter got more bad news this week in the form of a shareholder lawsuit accusing CEO Jack Dorsey and other executives of concealing facts about Twitter's slow user growth, even as they sold their personal stock holdings for hundreds of millions of dollars in insider profits. I shared the internal problem Twitter is experiencing past episodes, and there's a reason Twitter's trying to get acquired right now. Their executives are trying to cash out. All serious investors have pursued other paths, and I'm sure you too can start to see the writing on the wall. It has a lot to do with the new numbers or the lack of growth of new members. But if you want to learn more about it, just go back to past episodes. I spent plenty of time on that Twitter problem. This week, YouTube launched Endscreens, a new mobile-friendly tool that lets you engage viewers right as your video finishes and encourages them to watch more on their devices. So how do they work? Well, in the last 5 to 20 seconds of your video, you can now choose to show hard-to-miss thumbnail overlays that prompt viewers to watch other videos, subscribe to your channel, visit collaborators' channels, and more. Currently, many creators use annotations as a desktop-only tool that allows you to add clickable links to your videos to manually create end screens. And this will no longer be necessary as the new end screens are not only easier to create, but also allow you to reach more viewers on desktop and mobile. But here's the catch that video marketers need to know. End screen elements and annotations can't be used in the same video. Well, for most of your videos, you should go ahead and use the new end screens tool, all right? But when you're creating YouTube ads, it's best practice to have clickable annotations before the 30-second mark, about halfway through the video, and again at the end. So advertising with the new end screens, that may not work as well for you for your video ads as they do for the rest of your videos. But there is a workaround here. Use the traditional annotation tools for your video ads and run them on desktops only, right? For desktop only ads, like you probably were doing all along due to the fact that the annotations never worked on mobile. Now, you may also consider using mobile YouTube ads when your ads are shorter. But as always with new technology, you should test it for yourself, refine, and see what works out best. We consider this micro tests. And at the end of the micro test, you'll yield results that you'll want to pursue. And some you're going to want to just dump, forget, and not tell anybody about. Did you see the Apple announcement this week? What a tired, absolutely friggin' depressed crowd of supporters. I couldn't believe it. I watched it last night. My wife just kept looking at me going, "This is so boring. Do we have to watch this?" And as I was looking at it, it was just clear to me that there's something strange going on at Apple. Like, what's up with the dress code? Does every Apple presenter have to wear those faded out dad jeans? Come on, Apple. Let's step that game up a little bit. You know, I used to wake up on the morning of an Apple announcement and it would feel like techie Christmas day for me. But when it comes to groundbreaking innovation, I can't help wondering, what are all those Apple genius employees doing? You know, they keep providing very little innovation. They keep providing very little innovation that has no real business value coming out of one infinity loop. And it feels like Apple puts more innovation power into their texting app on their iPhone than they did on their new MacBook Pro, which is basically a very minor, insignificant upgrade to the model they rolled out 5 years ago. I know because I've had 3 or 4 of them since. And at the very least, I would have loved to see a 32 gig memory option. That would have been beautiful. Just that alone would have had real business value to people like me, people in my office and our clients. And I should probably force quit this topic before I start to get really ticked off. But Apple, it's about time, dude. Step up your game. You're friggin' Apple. You got a bucket load of cash you're sitting on. Make stuff that's great that we get excited about. I'm telling you, man. Oh, and drop those faded jeans. They're pathetic. Historically, one of the biggest challenges faced by both Wirebuzz and our clients is getting key stakeholders to give video a chance. Now, it's not been made a priority in the past, which made convincing people a real challenge, but a lot of that's behind us now, and probably because we were early to market, and now we're starting to see that things are changing. Now, recently, I started to notice that our sales cycles have been shrinking, and more people are reaching out to us for video work where in the past we had to convince and then convert. And it's been far easier to have conversations about the real value of video. It's just not as hard to convince people about the importance of video and as it was 5 or 6 years ago when it was really, really difficult. And I think it's because businesses, you know, many businesses are starting to see the writing on the wall that video is the most effective form of content for businesses, right? But that doesn't mean that every business or every stakeholder inside of businesses are convinced. You may still be facing an uphill battle trying to convince your company's leadership to invest in video. So this week's episode, we're going to explore how video gives you a competitive advantage and how to use that knowledge to win over key stakeholders inside of your company. Cool? All right. Now, first, we're going to be talking about the industry trends and how both marketers and consumers are using video to drive revenue. And next, what we're going to do is we're going to explore the reasons why video is so effective. So you can use those arguments when you're communicating with your company leadership. And the third thing we're going to do is we're going to discuss how to set up a video pilot program so you can prove that video works before committing to the long-term strategy. And the last thing we're going to do to wrap this all up, we're going to break it all down into a simple four-step framework where you can put this all to use. Sound good? All right, and that's why I'm joined right now by Wirebuzz's Director of Strategy, Marcus Krieg. What up, Marcus?
What's up, Todd?
Nice to have you back in the studio.
Oh, it's good to be back.
All right, so Marcus dressed in his Portland formal gear, me in my Prince gear, and Christo in his Lederhosen. We're recording this podcast. Marcus, let's start off right off the bat. You know, I know it's been easier for us to sell video, which makes me think that maybe video is starting to catch on. What's the data showing?
Everyone's talking about video right now. It's quickly becoming an essential part of any business's content strategy. So we're seeing some publishers sharing crazy stats about video. For example, Cisco just came out with a stat that says that over 85% of U.S. website traffic is going to be video by 2019, and that's going to be 80% of all traffic is going to go to video globally. Now, personally, I think that's like way over the top.
Dude, as the owner of a video marketing agency, that to me is like the bright shining light that I want to like follow, but I know it isn't realistic.
Yeah, right. It's like, you know, heaven. It's the Messiah,
yes,
coming over the hill with the sun behind his back.
Yes.
It's that Gandalf scene from the second the Two Towers movie, right? So, you know, this obviously is crazy. We know that 80% of website traffic is not going to be to video. It's not going to be that steep of a change. Eventually, it's going to balance out. And we saw the same thing in 2012. Adweek said the same exact thing, that 90% of website traffic was going to be video by 2015. Well, it's past 2015, and we're not seeing 90% of website traffic be video. So what's happening here? What are they really talking about? Well, what they're looking at are projections based on historical growth trends, right? So they're looking at how much more traffic is going to video over the past few years, and then they're projecting out, assuming that that growth rate's going to continue for the next 4 years, or the next 3 years in this case. So obviously it's going to stabilize, it's going to start to balance out over time, but the fact that those trend lines are so steep right now tells us something really important, which is that video is growing at an extremely fast rate that's not sustainable, and people are going to start catching on.
All right. So give me some of the better video stats that you're seeing out of the Wirebuzz strategy team, and then let's talk about, you know, how that boils down into how we use it to influence key stakeholders inside of businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. So some stats that are a little bit more accurate. 4 times as many consumers are going to watch a product video than read about it when given a choice, right? So people are demanding more video. You're going to get more attention if you create your content in the format of a video. 1 in 4 consumers these days are losing interest in companies that aren't using video, right? 1 in 4, that's 25% of your potential customers are going to lose interest in you if you don't have video.
Now, Marcus, I was on a call with a client today, and they asked me to critique their site and to talk about where to put video. And then they asked me to critique the video that they already had. And I scrolled through the site, and as I went down the site, I was like, they don't even have video on here. I mean, what am I critiquing? They're on the phone with me. And I scroll down. They had a video in the least valuable space on their homepage, which was the very bottom right corner. And it wasn't even a full aspect ratio video. It was like the size of a postage stamp. and so now what they did is they effectively, recognizing that people are 4 times more likely to look at a video, they took the most valuable asset that people have already showed that they're more interested in, and they buried it.
Yep.
For text that they're not interested in reading.
I love brand teams. Great. Branding team.
All right. So 1 in 4 customers actually lose attention and lose interest in a company if they don't have a video. Customers are nearly 50% more likely to read email newsletters that include links to video, right? That's significant,
right? Right? If you're, you know, content marketing is the future. It's taking longer to go through sales processes as consumers are becoming savvier. And that means you need them to consume your content. That's what content marketing is all about. You get people on the list, you nurture them, you build a relationship, you build trust, you get them to consume your information, and that information helps facilitate the sale. You get 50% more people consuming that content, you're going to get more sales. You're going to get sales faster.
All right. So what are you also, out of your strategy team here at Wirebuzz, what are some other really nerdy stats about the power and impact video is having in business that you guys are seeing?
Well, according to survey data, 4 in 5, 80% of consumers are saying that a product or service video is essential to the buying process.
It's got to be.
They have. It's just, it's too complex. Most stuff is just too complex now. You know, as technology continues to evolve, as products get more complex and bigger and solve more and more complex problems, you need to have information presented in the clearest possible fashion. And video is the clearest, most concise way to communicate complex information because you combine the visual with the emotional, with the logical, all in one neat package.
Now, most of the projects that we're given are companies that have absolutely impossible products to explain, right?
Yeah.
Like we get the, even the Russian judges give it a degree of difficulty of 10,
yeah.
Right? And we recently had one the other day that was so easy that I think we all looked around and we were like, oh my God, this is great. Finally, an easy one to explain, right?
Totally.
So that kind of fits right in there. 4 in 5 consumers say that video showing how a product or service works is important to the buying process. What else are you seeing?
Yeah, a recent survey of marketers worldwide found that 52% of them are saying that video is the type of content, this is over ebooks, over articles, over podcasts, over infographics, over anything. 52% of them are saying that video is the type of content with the highest ROI. And, you know, we're talking more than 50% of marketers voting for one thing when we're talking about a list of 15 or 20 different tactics, types of content. That's a really overwhelming majority here.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting as I must be a little bit biased because when I saw it, I was like, well, that number feels kind of low because it's friggin' obvious at right. this point, right?
Yeah, well, someone out there, you know, is having great success with their webinars and their ebooks, right? So they're going to vote for their ebooks. Maybe people who haven't even adopted video are a part of that survey. So they don't know what it does. And that's really what we're talking about today is, you know, there's been this historical adoption problem. Starting to see that change.
Yeah, the best marketers know how to be valuable to the company that they work for, how to generate ROI to prove out their worth. So what does all this data mean for marketers? You know, obviously video is becoming more popular, but why should marketers care about it?
Well, I want to go back to that Cisco stat about the projections, right? They're saying 80%, 85% of traffic is going to go to video. That what that tells us is that the growth rate of adoption for video is accelerating at an extremely rapid rate right now. So we know that it's eventually going to stabilize, which tells us that the window of time, the window of opportunity for using video as a competitive advantage is starting to close.
Can I challenge this for a second?
Sure.
No, I want to refine it, not challenge it. The window of opportunity to use video as a competitive advantage is going to close, but even after it closes, you're still going to have to use video to communicate because your target customer is demanding video because they prefer to learn that way.
Right, right. So we look back, you know, 25% of consumers today say that they lose interest in a brand that's not using video. You know, when 80, 90, 95% of brands are using video and you're the odd man out, that's not going to be just 25% of consumers, right? So what we're looking at right now is a window of opportunity that's closing to use video as a competitive advantage. Right now, brands that have adopted video, they're using video each year, are growing 49% faster than their industry competitors, according to Aberdeen Research. So if you are using video right now, you're going to outpace your competition. But eventually, your competition's going to catch on. That's what that growth rate is telling us. People are adopting video at a faster and faster rate. We're seeing over 70% of marketers increasing their video budget over last year. So when people are increasing their budgets, when new brands are entering this market, when video is becoming a foregone conclusion and your brand isn't using it, it's not just, you're not just missing out on the opportunity, as you mentioned. Eventually, you're going to be behind the ball. You're going to be losing to the competitors who adopt video before you. You're losing market share.
Yeah, you know, this is the first time that I've been at a party. I was at a family event in Los Angeles last week, and somebody came up to me and said, I've been watching what you're talking about on social, but what I'm really interested in is how you and your team got to video so early, because now it's a foregone conclusion that every business needs this in order to communicate. And it's really interesting to me that there are still some key stakeholders inside of these companies that some marketers that are listening have to deal with that still don't understand video. And yet I was at a, you know, you guys know that I go to marketing conferences like I'm traveling around following my favorite rock band or something. I'm just always at marketing conferences or medical conferences, you name it. And I'm obsessed with the amount of print content, flyers and two-sided materials and, you know, folders that are printed and sitting on each one of these. I'm obsessed with it. They're sitting on the booths. And when I go by, I'm not only looking at their booth loop video and the messaging and what type of animation, but I'm also looking at how high those stacks are, because they don't ever go down. And all they do is sit there because people don't put them in their bag to read them later. In fact, if they do put them in their bag, they throw that crap out in 6 months when they're cleaning out their closet and it never gets read. But that's where that investment dollars are going nowadays. You know, it's either going to material that won't be read or it's going to video.
Right. And, you know, you bring up conferences as an excellent example. I mean, some of these companies have $250,000 a year or more conference budgets. That's a one-time investment to have a conversation with a few hundred people. You're paying a couple hundred thousand dollars to talk to a few hundred people. Maybe if you're in like a really, really, you know, going to really big conferences, you might talk to a couple thousand. You spend $250,000 on videos with a little bit of advertising behind them. You're talking to hundreds of thousands of people who could be potential customers.
And then you're tracking who's watching.
Right. You're measuring ROI. You don't have that offline to online disconnect. And you can fully automate the process.
All right, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. This whole conversation, you know, we've been assuming that video works and that's why it's growing. But what is it that makes video so effective? Let's break that down for a few moments, Marcus.
Well, I know we had a podcast episode where we talked about the four superpowers of video.
We did that together.
Right? And so, you know, I definitely think you should check that out. You should go to the show notes. We'll go ahead and link that up. But, you know, just to keep things simple here, it really boils down to two functional things, right? Video gets more attention, there's four superpowers: attention, clarity, emotion, and perceived value, right? All of those can be used as growth levers for content, and choosing to make a profit and knowing that you're going to make a profitable video ultimately comes down to situations where you can use one of those superpowers to get more ROI out of a piece of content over text, right? But what it really boils down to in practical terms, in most cases, is attention and persuasion, right? Clarity and emotion ultimately factor into persuasion, right? Perceived value factors into persuasion. But people also just prefer video. So there's this attention element. So we know people are four times more likely to watch a product video than read about it. So right there, you know, people don't like to read. People are busy. They'd rather just sit back, kick their feet up, and watch a video. So we know there that it's going to be more effective. And just looking at attention alone, you're getting four times more eyeballs on your content. So that's a huge win. But when we're talking about emotion, you know, the data says people are 80% more likely to buy after watching a product video. But you can do even better than that, because, you know, that's assuming an average video, right? If you tap into emotion and you really tell a compelling story, you know, that's priceless. You know, there are people out who are creating, you know, video sales letters out there, and they're just closing people, you know, 15, 20 minute video, and it just closes someone.
Well, I think we've all fallen into that over time. We've looked at something, we've watched a product video. I can't tell you how many times a week I look at a product video and I'm like, damn, I need that thing. And at the beginning, I had no interest. I saw the photos, I had no interest. And at the end, I'm a buyer.
And if it weren't for Wendy.
Right. If it wasn't for my wife.
If it wasn't for Wendy, you'd be broke.
Right. Totally. So not only does video reach more of your target customers, also more persuasive, and it makes sense in getting the best results. Now, let's talk about ROI. You and I both know that many businesses fall into a deep trap here. And so what is the ROI issue and how can marketers overcome it, Marcus?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really big mindset problem mostly. There's some practical issues for sure, and we'll talk about that in a second. But it really starts with the mindset. A lot of businesses are focusing on, you know, fixed budgets, which, you know, we've known for a while is kind of an outmoded way of budgeting for marketing.
Absolutely.
When something generates ROI, you reinvest, you scale it fast because you know your competitors are. And if they're out marketing you and out ROIing you, eventually they're out competing you. So we know that standard annual budget model is kind of broken, and it leads to a prioritization of cost over ROI. And so there's this really deep mindset shift that needs to take place here, wherein you just explain the simple logic. If a video costs two or three times more than a text-based article, but the video is 10 times more effective, it shouldn't even be a conversation. And you need to have that conversation internally with your company and really focus on just getting buy-in and getting people to understand, hey, look, we might not be able to do as many things, but the things that we do are really going to kick ass. And if we do that, we're going to grow faster and then we can do more things total. And that mindset shift, that change in how people view content and how people view cost versus value, that's a pretty critical thing if you're going to get buy-in on something that is a premium piece of content that gets outsized ROI.
You know, I suspect that video changed our game here at Wirebuzz. Before we started using video in our email outreach, it took 8 weeks to close a deal. And then after we started using video in those email outreaches, we were closing deals in 3 weeks. That's a 68% decrease in our sales cycle. And that changed the trajectory of our company. And I suspect this has a lot to do with the fact that so few marketers are actually calculating the ROI of their content, let alone their videos. So cost is really the only thing that they go off of. And when your ROI is higher, the cost becomes largely irrelevant. It's an outmoded way of thinking about content. So as much as possible, you're going to need to shift the conversation at your company from fixating on cost to really focusing on value and what the results are. You know, in our experience, the best way to kill this misconception is to pitch a pilot program for your key stakeholders and to get them understanding that you're going to just take a little bit of a bite and see if you like that and if it generates results. And this minimizes your exposure to risk and the unknown, but still gives you the opportunity to prove that to them, video works and video will also drive ROI. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let's discuss pilot programs. I think that's a really interesting topic. You know, actually, this morning we just finished a webinar on five types of videos that are basically guaranteed to drive significant and permanent ROI increases for all types of businesses, right? You know, over the years, we've just discovered that there are certain videos that always work. And depending on your goals and what your company leadership is going to value,
right,
you may want to create a pilot program using one of those types of videos. So we're going to break those down by goal. I think that would be a really interesting exercise here. And so you can choose the right type of video for your pilot program so that you can actually convince your key stakeholders based on what matters to them.
All right, let's do that. Marcus, how should marketers decide what type of video is best for their pilot program? And maybe let's start off with goal number one being lead generation, which seems like it comes up all the time.
Yeah. A lot of businesses are really focused on lead generation. And you know, incidentally, just as a quick aside, we oftentimes are trying to encourage clients to focus more on close rate, more on getting more deal flow through the pipeline more quickly. But lead generation is absolutely important. You get more leads.
It comes up more often than the others, right?
Yeah, everyone's really focused on traffic and leads. And they think that their sales team is, it's their responsibility to close the
but
deal.
But we're much more focused on
closing those deals.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Right, yeah. We usually start at the back of the sales process and work our way up to lead gen and traffic generation because it's more efficient, it drives ROI faster. But if your key stakeholders are mostly focused on lead generation, then what we would recommend is a video-based lead magnet. Now, a lead magnet is a content offer. It's something that you offer to your website visitors in exchange for an email address and name. You know, so ebooks would fall into this category.
Like a video
white papers
mini course could fall in there.
Right. So, you know, when we're talking about a video-based lead magnet, a video mini course is probably the most valuable. You could also do pre-recorded workshops or, you know, you could even just take a Wistia video and gate it. You know, you have to enter an email address to watch the video. Lots of ways to use video-based lead magnets here, but it will, because videos have such high perceived values, going back to that the four superpowers, people are going to have a greater propensity to opt in for a video than they would for text. And, you know, that just makes sense. People would rather watch a video than read. So if you want to increase your lead gen rate, right, your opt-in rate, your website's conversion rate, then you take your lead magnet, you turn it into a video mini course. And if you don't have a lead magnet, you just go ahead and create one. And what you're going to see is that your website's conversion rate might go from, you know, maybe 0.5%, 1%, 2% maybe, up to 5, 6, 7%. And that's a huge, huge increase. You know, you're 5Xing, 10Xing your conversion rate. That means more leads. That means more deal flow for your sales reps. So actually, one of the most interesting things with lead gen, I want to plug this real quick. When you're creating these content offers, usually the biggest struggle is choosing a topic, right? So you know what I'm going to talk about here. We have a topic selection worksheet. So if you want to learn you know, what topic to select so that you can go ahead and choose the right lead magnet that's going to be interesting and compelling to your audience, you can go ahead and download that at wirebuzz.com/topics. And I think that brings us to goal number two.
Well, before we get on to goal number two, it's important people know that this topic selection worksheet is free to the listeners of this podcast, wirebuzz.com/topics. Now let's dig in. Let's goal number two, I think, is driving sales directly. Let's spend a few moments on that. Let's talk about it. You know, one of the best ways to drive more sales is to create an explainer video. That's obvious for a lot of people. And the explainer video would go on your website's homepage. Marcus, talk to me about why this is one of the safest investments.
Right. And I think we should expand this one into two. So there's like two ways that you're going to increase sales, right? And one is if you have a relatively simple sales process. You know, it's not a lot of friction, not super high cost maybe. You know, the buying process is pretty easy. If that's the case, then an explainer video is probably going to move the needle for you the fastest. And the reason is that the explainer video lives on what is effectively a product page, your homepage, but it's also going on the most trafficked page of your website. So it's going to get you the triple crown of ROI. It's a relatively low cost video. You know, it's not like a TV commercial. You know, it's also going to get an immense amount of exposure. And because it's a product video, it also has a significant business impact. So explainer videos are easily one of the safest investments you can make in your business. Now, the average conversion rate improvement for a homepage explainer video is 20%. That means for every 10 people who come to your website, you're going to convert two more of them into leads.
That sounds good.
That's pretty great, right? So, and that's a permanent increase, significant ROI increase for your business. And even if you're not measuring ROI, you have like offline conversions, you can still look at an explainer video and easily identify it as a win because your time on page is going to shoot through the roof. Your bounce rate's going to drop.
Your search results will get impacted.
Exactly. So explainer videos are going to be one of the safest investments. And they make a perfect pilot program video, a great entree into the video marketing industry for a simple sales process.
Right.
Now, if you have a more complex sales process, let's talk goal number three. We probably are going to be more focused on your sales reps and how we can enable sales more effectively.
So goal three is, to me, feels like improved sales rep productivity. Is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
All right, cool.
With goal number three, we're really talking about, you know, and you're right. It's all about improving the efficiency of your sales reps. And so when you have a complex sales process, usually there's going to be a sales team involved, right? It would be tragic to have a complex buying process and not have a sales team to walk people through that. Now, if that's your situation, most of the companies
almost,
we work with actually have complex sales processes and really complex products. In those cases, as we mentioned earlier, we like to start at the very back of the sales process and work our way towards the front, because at the back of the sales process, you're going to see ROI increases much more quickly.
Right.
We increase sales rep productivity because video is four times more likely to be consumed. You're sending this content, right? Your sales team is talking with a prospect. Let's just think about the situation here. Sales rep's talking to a prospect, and the only reason they haven't bought already is because there's resistance, there's unanswered questions, there's unresolved objections. There are that might be price shopping. They might be comparison shopping with another product.
Or they're not even reading at all.
Right. And that's the thing is, you know, a lot of companies are creating what's called sales enablement content, which is content that's, you know, scalable with a company approved sales message that goes out after the initial pitch, the demo, whatever you want to call it. And then you use this content to start knocking down those objections, answer those questions, move people further through the buying process so that they ultimately close the deal. But when people aren't reading your content, it can be extremely frustrating for your sales reps to follow up again.
Absolutely.
And again and again. You don't know if your prospects actually consumed your content. So if you send an email, they opened the email, they clicked the email, but they didn't read it, your sales rep has no idea that that objection hasn't been resolved.
Right.
That's serious, serious deficiency here. So what we do with video is we adapt that sales enablement content into videos so that we can 4X the attention rate, get four times more people consuming your content, and suddenly your whole sales process starts getting streamlined. It's just like you said earlier with Wirebuzz. We started using videos in our outreach emails. Suddenly our sales process went from 8 weeks. It was 8 weeks, right?
Yeah,
eight weeks. To 2.5 weeks or something like that, or
so 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, I think I told you before coming into this podcast that this weekend I've got to write job ads for salespeople, not because I need them to go out and pound the pavement, but because now I've got such a velocity of people that want to do business because we've been convincing and converting the way they want to learn. I need people to write deals.
Yep.
It's just a different velocity.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, sales enablement content, these are things like product comparison videos. So you compare yourself to the competition. Pricing, objection handles, right? Pricing resistance is usually going to be one of the things that's going to come up at some point in the sales process. You need to handle that. If you have implementation issues on your product. So say, for example, let's just use an example everyone's aware of, Salesforce. If you're Salesforce, and you want to close a deal with a business, it's not just we want Salesforce. There's a serious implementation problem.
Absolutely.
You need to get all of your machines on Salesforce, and then you need to get a Salesforce consultant coming in to help actually set it all up the way that you need it. It's not just an easy, I want to buy now.
It's not an easy button.
Yeah, there's no buy now button that's going to work for you in this situation. And so those are the types of things that you raise during the sales enablement process in order to knock down that resistance and speed up your sales. So if you have a complex sales process, you need to show quick wins. Then what we would do is we would create a series of relatively inexpensive sales enablement videos designed to help your sales reps deliver an approved message to prospects to knock down some of the most significant points of resistance throughout that sales process.
Now, we use them here inside mm-hmm. of Wirebuzz. The way I use it is when somebody hits me with a common objection or a concern or a frequently asked question, and I'm with them in person or I'm over the telephone, I answer that question. And then when I get off the call, I send them an email and I follow up with a, hey, John, it was great talking with you. I recognize you asked the question about X, Y, and Z. Here's a quick video of so-and-so in our company answering that same question. Because what I'm doing to John is I'm demonstrating that my answer wasn't bullshit
mm-hmm.
and that not only is it the right answer, but here's other people on the team that are validating it. And what I've really done when John looks at it is John has now said, okay, he heard me. He understands my concern. He's already prepared to handle this question, which means it's not the first time he's dealt with that question.
A little bit of a Jones effect there.
Right. And then the other thing that happens is that question that John hit me with probably didn't come from John. It probably came from his boss. Mm-hmm. So John can forward that video because we already know video is three times more likely to be shared. He will forward that video over to his, you know, primary report. And then they move together to the next stage in the buyer's journey and they convert.
You know, I'm really glad you brought up that sharing element, because that's one of the core values of sales enablement content, is the recognition that the person that's on your email list, the person that your sales rep is talking to, is probably not the only decision maker. At most businesses, there are between 3 to 5 decision makers for every purchase decision. So that means that you might only be having conversations with 1 or 2, and you have to be able to win over the other people. But do you really want to count on your prospect remembering what you told them on the phone or on a sales call and have them try to re-explain it and sell it for you? Or would you rather give them your very, very best sales message from your very best salesperson so that they can just show that video to their CEO, to their director, to their VP?
Because you're not going to be in the room when that primary decision maker is going to be making that decision, but your video can.
Right,
right?
Exactly.
So let's talk about goal 4 for a moment, which is shiny objects. You know, some business leaders don't understand ROI and all your marketing mumbo jumbo, but they certainly understand really great, compelling storytelling. If your stakeholder is like that, then you're going to want to create something that's shiny enough to get their attention. Marcus, let's talk about that for a few moments. What do people need to know about shiny objects and goal number 4 that would be valuable to convincing their key stakeholder that it's time for video?
Right. Now, in this situation, you're not going to create a sales enablement video. And the reason why is they're simple, they're effective, but it's more about the message. It's not a flashy video. You know, and even explainer videos, they don't have to be flashy. They just have to be very clear and concise. You know, you need to communicate the essential message and then move on. So if you really have someone, you know, and this is really common with CEOs, is, you know, they tend to have shiny object syndrome, and that's part of what led them to be CEOs in the first place, right? The pursuit of novelty. So if that's your situation and that your stakeholder is not the, you know, the ROI guy who wants to, you know, measure results, and they just need to feel reassured, they need to have the emotional connection with the content you're creating in order to feel persuaded to keep doing it, then the very best thing you could create is a story testimonial. Now, there's 2 reasons why. We know you're a marketer, right? You know, you want to move the needle for your business, but your CEO, your VP, you know, the other stakeholders, they might not get that how to move the needle. They might not get what you do every day. A story testimonial is the perfect balanced solution, because the story is going to be compelling and beautiful. It's going to have the impact you want with the stakeholder, but they're also hands down the most effective piece of content you could ever produce.
Yep.
Story testimonials, you know, 51% of video marketers, right? So these are people who make videos, are saying that testimonials are the type of video that generate the highest ROI. So the majority of video marketers are saying testimonials are the best. And it's because they're so flexible, right? They tap into emotion, which we all know is what makes people buy. But more than that, you can use them everywhere, because testimonials aren't pushy. You could put them on your sales pages. You could put them on landing pages. You can put them on social media. You can put them on YouTube. You can share them over and over and over again, and people will tear up. And that's really the power of a testimonial. So your CEO, your VP, whatever, your key stakeholders, they're going to look at this video and they're going to say, wow, I'm so glad we did this.
Marcus, when we started doing it, you know, January 1st was the first time that Wirebuzz like kicked off our own content creation, you know, January 1st, 2016. And it slowly started to trickle out as we started to get a little more bandwidth, a little more time, a little more opportunity. But what I started to see is, as soon as our videos started getting out there, we were thought leadershipping, we were putting testimonials, telling behind the scenes stories from our video shoots. People started coming up to me and they would go, like people I've known forever, and they'd go, dude, this is the way my friends talk. Dude, you guys are like blowing up. And I'd go, oh, well, thanks. They're like, boy, I'm everywhere. You guys got great information. Like, or people would say, well, obviously you're doing well. And the next phase right after that was referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And people that already knew and trusted us started driving business. All right. So let's do a quick wrap up. Let's talk about the 4-step framework for convincing our stakeholders that it's time to invest in video. Where do you start?
Step 1, show them the data. Video is effective, it gets more exposure online than text-based content, and it has a higher ROI according to the majority of marketing professionals worldwide.
Right.
The data will compel some people. Now, if that is not compelling enough, then you're going to move on to step two, which is to talk about that closing window of opportunity for using video as a competitive advantage. Point out the data about video adoption and what that data actually means. Businesses that create video right now are growing 49% faster than their competitors who are not. And these days, if you're not using video, at least 25% of your target customers are going to stop paying attention to you. It's quickly becoming a requirement. If you wait till it becomes a requirement, you've already given up a lot of market share. So use the competitive argument. Now, if this one doesn't do it.
Wait, but I want to tell you one thing. The advantage is, if you're a marketer, you realize that all the biggest percentage growth opportunities happen to early adopters.
Absolutely.
Right? All right, give me your next one.
Yeah. Third, you need to manage the mindset, right? So if they're not buying in on the fact that video just works, and then you need to shift their conversation that's going on in their head from cost to value and ROI. If something costs twice as much but gets four times better results, then you should invest in whatever is going to get you the highest return so that you can reinvest those returns so that you can outcompete the competition. I mean, it's really just that simple. And you just have to paint the picture for those stakeholders who are going to be a little bit more budget focused. Again, if that doesn't work, you move on to step four of the framework, which is really simple. If you're encountering a lot of resistance, the best way to get started is with a simple, low-risk pilot program. Now, it's all based on focusing on what your internal stakeholders are going to value and then presenting a pilot program that serves that function.
So for example, like for lead generation, you may want to create a mini course for lead capture, for driving sales. You may want to look at an explainer video or possibly a series for sales enablement videos. And if your management really just wants to see a sexy video that gives them, you know, all the feels, then you may want to start with a story-based testimonial because those are both sexy and effective. You buy all that?
Absolutely.
All right, brother. So that's kind of big picture overview, right? On how you take video and you start to convince and convert even the key stakeholders inside your own business.
Yep.
All right. Well, Marcus, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
A lot of really good information that marketers can use to better advance their own product, their own service, and to get their boss to buy in. Look, this is episode 47. If you're looking for the show notes, because we're going to provide some information, not only are you going to get this data that we've provided, including the four-step framework for convincing your stakeholders to invest in video, but we're also going to put up photos of Christo in Lederhosen and Marcus wearing his Portland formal gear, and also me dressed as, you guessed it, Prince. So you can find all of that on the show notes page, which lives at wirebuzz.com/47. And if you love this podcast, if we're providing really great, compelling information, make sure you subscribe. And you can do that on iTunes, Stitcher, and also Google Play. And please give us a very honest rating and review. And what we're going to do on your behalf is this team here at Wirebuzz, we're going to continue to work to find the latest information to help you move the needle, to convert faster, to drive your business to new levels. And we're going to continue to do that each week right here at Video Marketing Mastermind.